Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Twitter at ESPN 1000. Now, back to more Fred and Xander on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
So the Bears and Matt Nagy getting ready for
a breakup?
Well, that too, probably. And the Vikings. But the question I want to ask you, Bears fans, 312-332-3776, Fred and Xander here on ESPN 1000. When you see that college coaches rarely succeed in the NFL, are you hesitant to suggest that the Bears go after a college coach? Or are you saying that, you know, that's just every guy's individual? It just happens. You know, the numbers happen. You're what? We're in Super Bowl 53, 54, 55, whatever it is coming
56
up.
56.
Okay.
Coming up.
And so only three times has a former college coach won a Super Bowl.
So the numbers don't look good.
No, they don't look good at all. So what would you – now, there have been college coaches that come into the college ranks and grow as an assistant and things like that. But what would you prefer? 312-332-3776. Because even though I had mentioned numerous times throughout the year that I did not think the Bears were going to get rid of Matt Nagy before the season or during the season, I'm pretty damn sure they're going to get rid of him after the season.
Mm-hmm.
And if they don't,
what's going to happen sometime?
Right. And again, we had a caller. There was a caller, and we didn't, the station as a group, we. I think it was Cap had a caller yesterday, and they were talking about Cap and Jay Hood in mornings here on ESPN 1000, talking about you've got to make sure you talk about Ryan Pace because he's the one that's put the team in this situation, mm-hmm. this predicament, and also this situation with not having a draft pick and all that kind of stuff. And so, yeah, you can't fire one without the other, and that's one of the reasons I would hesitate to get rid of Matt Nagy before I got rid of Ryan Pace.
See, again, from my view, if I wanted to make a statement, I would have popped Nagy,
yeah,
and Pace would know that I'm coming for him after the season.
Well, then I would have said, listen, Matt's gone. We're going to pick the guy, the interim. We're going to have this guy run it.
Yeah, and that tells him everything he needs to know.
Yeah. Pretty much. 312-332-3776. Out to Lockport, my future home. And Tom, what's going on?
Hey, Tom.
Hey, guys, good morning. How you doing on this nice Saturday out here?
Oh, it's beautiful.
It's a little drippy outside, but, yeah, it's okay.
yeah, but I agree with you. I mean, I would play the odds. I think it's a long shot that a college coach is successful in the NFL. Certainly love Jimmy Johnson, but I would want to go after somebody that has that type of fire because, you know, I think Matt Nagy's a good guy, but believe me, you know, happy that he's going. Take Ryan Pace with you. And I think it's somebody that needs to instill some discipline into this and maybe, a la Ditka, a little bit of fear for your job. And that just becomes a physical team that just wants to go out and play hard.
Yeah, who is that, though, from the college ranks?
Yeah, well, or even...
No, I'm saying I don't want
that. Yeah, he doesn't like college.
Okay.
I don't want it from the college.
Okay.
No, I don't have the answer right now. I don't know, for instance, if that, you know, outside of, I tell you what, I take it back. There's one guy, only because he's been successful in the NFL, which would be Jim Harbaugh. But, you know, that's the, I don't have the answer. But, hey, guys, can I give a shout-out?
Sure.
Real quick, to the Lockport football team that won the 8A state championship, who beat a very, very good Loyola team. And especially, I'd just like to make it known, they've got a quarterback there, 6'7", 232. I think he only played a half a season last year, 25 touchdowns, one interception, and is not committed to a major school. And I think it's because he only played a half a season. Take a look at Hayden Timacek's highlight reel. I have no association with him, just that I'd like to see a young man who's got all the potential in the world throws a deep ball with touch, strong arm, and feels very comfortable in the pocket and have run
Hayden Timacek
style offense.
Yeah. Is that his name? Hayden Timacek.
You know, Tom, yes. they beat Maine South in the championship. I was at the game. They beat Maine South in the final, right. Yeah, you said Loyola. But
No. I'm sorry. That was in the. They beat. I just meant that they beat Loyola to get there.
To get there, right?
Gotcha.
And then they won the state championship. Yeah. No, I saw him play. He was good. The running back was good, and their defense was really nice. Their two inside line guys, their two tackles, are brothers, twin brothers, going to Eastern Illinois, and probably going to take after Yurko and spend time in the NFL.
Well, that'd be great, and that Maine South game, trust, that was nowhere near his best game, I can tell you.
He played
well,
right.
The whole team did, but like I said, I mean, against Loyola, which really, all the props to them for such a great program.
Yeah.
You know, the kid was knocked out the first series. He's also their punter. The punt didn't go far. Loyola put it right in the end zone, and now you think, okay, and you know, they're doing the check on the sideline for a concussion or anything with Hayden. The kid comes out there, and I think in six plays, four of which I think were passes, bing, 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 touchdown, down the field. This is a kid who should be playing at a major university that, again, I think because of last year and not, you know, I think the spots fill up after junior year, if I'm right, and I think has just been overlooked. I hope he gets a chance. And thanks for letting me bring it up.
No problem, Tom. Okay. There's a lot.
Hayden Timicek, he sounds like a good Czech kid.
Yeah.
Well, I like that.
Yeah, and you know what? Yeah, I saw them play, and he's right. He was also the punter. They also did a thing where on fourth down, if they were in the shotgun, they could trick the teams because...
Oh, that's dangerous right there.
Well, it was because one of his punts in the championship game was blocked, and it set up the opposition for actually good field position. But
it's dangerous either way.
Yeah, Lockport actually went on to win the game. 312-332-3776. Let's go to... Now, what is this? Bucks what?
Finisher?
Bucks fan, Osher, and Morton Grove.
Okay. What's up?
Hey, bud. Thanks for taking my call. So the coach for the Bears, I think, would be a great fit. I wouldn't even go to the college ranks. Now, I don't know how secure he is in Pittsburgh, but I would get Mike Tomlin out of there.
Oh, there's no way.
And here's why. Well, you know what? You can't say that because I believe him. He's been there for so long. His tenure's come and due. After Ben leaves, who are they going to draft?
No, I get it, but I just, there's no way the Rooneys are letting him go.
I wouldn't think so. They've only had what?
I would love it. Are you kidding me? Yeah. Change everything today.
He would make Justin Fields an incredible quarterback because, you know, there's honestly, as far as assistant coaches, it's a hit or a miss. I mean, if you're going to come to Chicago with an assistant coach, you got so much that you have to deal with as far as draft, whatever draft the Bears have, the free agency. It's a plate that you got to have to deal with. I think Mike Tomlin, if I was the Bears organization, I would go after him. There's no such thing as it's not going to happen. It can. If you put the right amount of money in front of the guy,
if we trade Justin Fields for him.
the only thing, though, is
because, I would love it.
Because of the history in Pittsburgh and Pittsburgh only having a certain number of coaches in their over the last, 50 years, I think he's sticking around. I don't think he's going to leave there. I think they'd have to go above and beyond for him to leave there. And he's a guy that I think, and we appreciate the call, he's a guy that I think is just, he's there forever. He's not going anywhere.
Look, he's as close to untouchable as it gets.
I would think so. I would think
so. We really don't know, but I mean, outside looking in, there's no way.
There's these young offensive geniuses, these young masterminds, you know, Cliff Kingsbury, and then you've also have Shanahan with the Niners, the guy with the Chargers, who I question because he just went by the book so much on the fourth down plays the other day. I mean, we're sitting there, he passed up three field goals, where if you kick the field goals, you end up winning. But the analytics tell you, you have a better chance to win if you score a touchdown here. Well, sure you do. Yeah, but you've got to score a touchdown.
If you score the touchdown.
Yeah, if you don't score the touchdown, there's probably a good chance you're not going to make it. As it turned out, they passed up on a couple of field goals and then had to go to overtime.
It's almost like you have to remind them, two field goals equals a touchdown.
Yeah, just about. You got to let them know.
Extra point.
Let's go on out to Duke. Duke, what's happening?
Hey, Duke.
Hey, guys.
How are you?
Last caller, I don't know. If we're doing wish lists, why don't we just go after Belichick then, right?
Yeah, right.
I think Sean Payton would be a more realistic out of the two, out of him and Tomlin, maybe, to pull away. But my guy, I want to start a movement, guys. Peyton Manning, one of the smartest football guys ever out there.
I don't think he wants that daily grind.
I think
and Peyton, like you said, there's so much on the Bears' plate, though. You know, it's like a whole rebuild. What do we got? Roquan Smith and Justin Fields, a few other guys, you know. It's a whole start over.
I think Peyton Manning would be more of the football guy, like to replace a Ryan Pace as opposed
or
to...
Or even a boss of a GM.
Yeah.
You know, we saw
the football operations.
Just get him in the building.
Yeah.
Just get him in the building is my thing. I would love to see him on the sideline, though. Just an offensive genius, obviously. But what he knew about defense and what he knew how to study defenses and how they attacked him, you know, I'm really just interested to see what he could build all together on the football side of things.
You know, Duke, sometimes you have a problem, though, because when you take great players and you put them in coaching positions, they don't quite understand why the players they're coaching can't be as good as they were. Larry Bird in the NBA. Larry Bird in the NBA is the first guy that comes to mind. Irvin Magic Johnson. They don't quite understand why these other players don't have
Didn't
the drive.
Didn't Isaiah have that issue, too, probably?
Yeah, the drive and the ability. Right. They don't quite understand, and they can't really relate to them. It's like, well, just do that. Well, I can't do it. What do you mean you can't do this?
Well, I did
and then
it.
They step on the court and show them. I think it happens more in basketball than it does in football.
I mean, a couple other guys I have at mind. You know, the obvious one is Jim Harbaugh. What about Greg Roman, the Baltimore Ravens offensive coordinator? What he was able to do with Kaepernick and then Lamar Jackson?
Yeah.
You know?
Well, you know what? And you bring it up, Duke, and appreciate the call. He's worked with guys, with quarterbacks that can run the football. And that's something you're going to need to do, because look at what Justin Fields was able to do. He ran the ball, was it 9 times for 74 yards against the Packers? And when he decided to run, he just took off, and he looked great. He slid early. He knew he had the bad ribs.
It wasn't the Nagy offense. Nagy offense that he likes, but guess what?
Yeah.
It worked.
It worked. I mean, he ran the ball. He did some good things. He got down. They were showing some things throughout the course of the week, how many times he got hit early in the game. He did get hit quite a bit because the offensive line was beat up. Peters was out right away early in the game, second or third play of the contest. He went out with the injury. They brought Tevin Jenkins in. Tevin Jenkins had a rough game. Two false starts, two holding penalties, another holding penalty that got, didn't get accepted because it was led to a fumble, in the third quarter. But the thing is, Tevin Jenkins is a guy playing his first NFL game. Anybody that is crucifying him, boy, oh boy, I'd hate to be your son because,
one mistake. Well, it's ridiculous. It's the first game.
It's the first game he's played, and he wasn't expecting to get time in there. And now they say they're going to leave him at the left tackle position. And
why not?
I know. And Larry Borum actually came down with COVID, so I don't know if he's going to be around, but I think Fetty could come back this week. The whole situation with who takes the field, you're going to have to join us on Monday throughout the course of the day so we know who's going to be playing in that game.
It will be a minute-by-minute development.
Yeah, I think, and I know I saw the injury report, and they're saying these guys are, but they haven't listed a lot of guys as out. They're going to wait as long as they can. Being a Monday game, they can wait a little bit longer than they would for most. Callers hanging there, we'll get right back to you. 312-332-3776. I still want to play what happened on the final play of the Northern Illinois bowl game. If anybody wants to jump on in and give us exactly what they think happened, because we're going to play the sound bite and talk about it. Xander and I watched it a dozen times. We can't figure out what the hell is going on. We didn't see the game as it happened.
Chaos.
So
that's a good word for it.
Maybe you did. I know Jesse was all upset about it, the Northern Illinois Husky grad. 312-332-3776 on ESPN 1000.
This is Fred and Xander on ESPN 1000, also available on demand on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
The Bears still making moves as they're trying to get enough guys ready for Monday night when they take on.
They're trying to size jerseys up for anybody. What do you wear?
Easily. XL. Yeah, 2XL fits pretty good sometimes. I was watching.
Well, with pads, it would be a.
I was looking at Tevin Jenkins' jersey. They just make these linemen wear, like, the skin-tight jerseys. Offensive linemen aren't supposed to wear skin-tight anything. But I know they don't want room to grab onto
Right.
They don't want to be able to
just
grab the jersey.
Just as long as he's not wearing something that tight out to dinner on a Friday.
Uh-huh.
I don't want to see that.
Nothing against you, Tevin. I'm sure you're a wonderful man and human, but that's the uniform doesn't look great. And there's a lot of players in the NFL. I mean,
yeah, it's not just
yeah.
Tevin.
I mean, I never understood Bill Parcells. He used to tuck his shirt into his pants. When you're that big, you don't do that.
You don't.
You leave it hang out.
You've never
seen me with a shirt tucked in.
No,
ever.
No.
I mean, when I go to weddings, I try to leave. You know, to have a longer coat. You know,
that's the rule of my life.
It is.
Untuck it.
So anyway, the Bears just announced a couple minutes ago they have activated nose tackle Eddie Goldman. A lot of Bears fans are saying that would be nice if he actually came and played. He's been on the reserve COVID list, so they've activated him and signed linebacker Ladarius Mack. That's Khalil Mack's brother.
We're trying to get a Mack.
Yes. Yes.
If we can't get the real Mack, we've got to get his brother.
We got Ladarius. Yeah, he was on the practice squad to the active roster, and they have signed a quarterback, Ryan Willis. Don't know who he is or what he's done, but
did you say quarterback?
Yes, I said quarterback, because Andy Dalton's down with the COVID.
I suppose.
So they wanted to have a guy. Yeah. So, yeah, so Ryan Willis.
I'm still confused as to why we have Foles, but I guess I'm glad we do now.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, you see if he's going to end up. He'll be the number two, I would think, going into the game on Monday night. Let's get back to the phones talking about some Bears coaches, and I got more information. Some stuff just came out about the Northern Illinois game from yesterday, so we'll talk about that. Let's go on out to the roads in Wallace. You're on ESPN 1000 with Fred and Xander. What's up?
Hey, bud.
Hey, good afternoon, fellas.
Good afternoon.
Hey, I just wanted to say, I'm listening to a lot of people bringing up trying to get a college coach to come in. But the bottom line is, college coaches really don't do well in the NFL simply because of the fact that they don't have the control that they would in college. You look at the guys, they can tell you, oh, if you don't do it my way, I can snatch your scholarship away and you're gone. You can't do that when you're in the pros. You're making $5 billion, $6 billion a year, and the star player is making three times that. What kind of leverage do you have to make them do your things your way?
It's a great point, Wallace.
Yeah. That's true. That's why you really have to rely on your general manager to get you the players that you want and you need to make your system
work.
You know, and what you're saying, Wallace, sounds like what happened to Urban Meyer. Just totally. He came in with this... Yeah. This attitude and, yeah, you know, this is the ego, and they weren't having it.
Well, Urban Meyer is also the guy that never really used any kind of discipline. Look at the stuff that went on at Florida, the stuff that went on at Ohio State. These guys ran roughshod all over their area. I mean, they got away with whatever because they were star players. And the coach didn't do anything to curtail their behavior.
Yeah, unfortunately, Wallace, unfortunately, we appreciate the call. Yeah. Unfortunately, that happens in a lot of college places.
See, actually, that works against that argument, though.
Yeah.
Because it's almost like if you do that in the college ranks, then you're used to the NFL.
Yeah.
Kind of. I know. Dynamic, yeah, but it didn't, obviously.
No, it's a weird situation. You have some control over guys, and you say, listen, if you don't do this, I'll bench you. Well, you're not bench. In the NFL, you got 53 guys. In college, you want to bench a tackle or something like that. You've got another guy that might be sitting there who is maybe a good player somewhere else, where here you
But you can't really make a point in the NFL without compromising possibly a
winning.
Game.
Yeah.
And you can't do that.
Right. A lot of times you can't bench guys. That's why a lot of people say, well, you guy doesn't play well, you got to bench him. Yeah, we can bench him. But to put that other guy in?
In baseball, that's easier.
Yeah.
Because you have so many games.
Right.
Not in football.
No. In football, so Kendall Vildor is not playing well, so let's put Crawford or Christian over there. Well, they both suck.
Well,
I mean, if Vildor's not getting the job done, none of the other, Artie Burns? I don't think so. So the opposition's going to pick on him right away, and then you're going to be in a hole. But what you found out is that Kendall Vildor, one of your high draft picks, isn't ready to play the position yet. And hopefully he can be in the future. Let's go to our guy, George in Old Town. Hey, George.
George.
Hey, Merry Christmas. Happy holidays, guys.
Yes, you too.
Look, I'd love to see Ryan Day get a chance, but you got to bring a new general manager in. And my point is you got to bring a general manager that can do stuff in free agency. I mean, look at the Packers. They got both of the Smith brothers, and both of them are hurt. They bring in these other guys. There's linebackers that are playing at an equal level. The Bears should go after those guys, and the Packers are deep in the secondary. They're not going to be able to sign all those guys. You got to be able to identify the guys that are hurting you on the other teams and steal them.
That would be nice. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Without a doubt.
Yeah. That would be good. And but like you mentioned, it's the GM, George, we appreciate the call. It's the GM that needs to change more than anything. And I understand Matt Nagy. I understand everybody hating the way he calls games and all that kind of stuff. I understand that. But a lot of times, you're a coach. I used to explain this to my wife years ago. She would ask me about money. And I looked at my paycheck and I said, I can only do so much with so little. And
right.
Matt Nagy can say that to Ryan Pace.
Right. But they both have to go. But Ryan, yes, that is a bigger one. But yeah. I still, and we've talked about this in past shows, and there was something I can't remember where I saw it during the week, but there was a report, I don't know where it was from, that Ted Phillips is now considering hiring a football mind and moving away.
Uh-huh.
It's like, oh, that's great. Yeah. I could have used that about 10 years ago.
Right.
Why now? And this is what I've been saying. It's like, if he was the president that he should be, he should have moved his ass out of there already and say, I can't do this. I'm not good enough at this. I need to hire somebody to do this.
Yeah.
And to hire the right GM, because I'm deficient of knowledge and I cannot do this. I can run the operations. I don't know the football as much as I need to.
Yeah.
And I need to hire the right people.
They need to hire a football guy. The question always is, who's good enough up there to hire a football guy who's knowledgeable enough to hire him? And that's the problem you run into.
And then that's where Phillips has to maybe try to get a Peyton Manning. Now, wouldn't that be great to have him
It wouldn't be bad. I mean, as a football guy, I'd like to see it. I'd like to see if he was interested. Am I wrong, but both of the Monday night games that the Bears have played, well, they play Monday. There wasn't a Manning cast for the first Monday night game they played.
They're not going to get any Manning cast this year.
Okay.
Did they ask?
Did they say please don't give us the Bears?
Bears, Steelers make a lot of sense from a viewership perspective.
They didn't do it to
have that one.
Yeah.
Because you've got two rabid fan bases. You got one of the biggest markets in the country.
Sure.
I mean, just look at this last Sunday night game.
I know.
It was one of the biggest, most watched Sunday night football games this season.
Yeah.
So
I know. And yeah, I would love to see the Bears say
please don't let them do our game because they're going to roast us, please.
Well, then
we're already a big punchline.
Then if you're ESPN, you just beg the Mannings to do it. That would have been fun to watch.
So I would have watched.
Yesterday, basically the start of bowl season. I know there was a college bowl game or two the day before that. There's a couple going on now. Northern Illinois was in one yesterday. Northern Illinois has had a pretty good quarterback, and they were playing Coastal Carolina yesterday. The final play of the game doesn't make any sense. I'll describe it to you first. It's 4th and 1. There's a pass to the left side. It looks like the receiver catches the ball and goes out of bounds. But then if you look
we would have
stopped the clock.
Yep.
But then when you look closely, he didn't catch the ball. As soon as he hit the ground, the ball fell out. Which would have stopped the clock, but it would have given the ball to Coastal Carolina because it was 4th and 1. But what they said was that he caught the ball and he was out of bounds and the clock was going to start once the referee blew the whistle.
And it did not.
Happened was the referee sets the ball down, steps back, and before he's even passed the quarterback, they blow the whistle, game's over. The 2 seconds rolled off. Now, first they said it should have been 4 seconds. There was only 2. So here's how it sounded on TV yesterday.
Cole Tucker up top. Lombardi throws out, caught, but to Joyner, I believe. Will they mark him out of bounds? If they mark him out of bounds, it stops the clock.
Complete catch.
Inbounds. They will start on the referee's whistle. 1 second. Al, wait a minute.
Yeah, wait a minute is right. What happened was they set the ball down on the whistle, and if the ball went down inbounds, you say, why you stop the clock? In college football, you stop the clock on a first down. So that's why the clock was stopped. But as soon as the referee set the ball down, before he even got past the quarterback.
He couldn't even get out of the way.
No, the quarterback couldn't even get to the center.
Right.
And they called it off. Well, earlier today, statement from the MAC commissioner, John Steinbrecher, regarding the end of the Northern Illinois game. At the end of last night's Northern Illinois Coastal Carolina football game in Orlando, a series of errors on the by the on-field officials and replay official denied NIU the opportunity to run one more play. Following the reception along the sideline, the play should have been stopped for a review. Mm-hmm. Also, the clock was not managed appropriately on what should have been the final play, as the center judge should have been allowed to clear the center before the referee wound the clock. This should not have occurred, and the egregious errors around a potential game-changing situation is both unfortunate and unacceptable. Congratulations to the student-athletes and coaches at NIU and Coastal Carolina for tremendous seasons and a hard-fought football game. Now, that was from the coach of the MAC, which is what the Northern Illinois is in. But you can tell how upset they were. And
it was indeed as bad as it looked.
Yeah. And, you know, it's not just us. So everybody that saw that realized it was a complete screw-up by all the referees.
It's several issues,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, several issues that the MAC commissioner laid out there. As it turns out, the final score, Coastal Carolina wins 47-41. We come back, we'll talk a little bit about Roland Heeman, who passed away earlier this week. He was a former GM of the White Sox and a lot of other places. But also, we talked about Dick Allen last week, I think it was, when he
and
did not make the Hall of Fame.
You connect the dots between Roland and Dick as well.
Yes, I can do that. And also, I got some interesting stuff. If you get a chance, listen to the White Sox Talk podcast. I'll tell you why when we come back after this.
This is Fred and Xander on ESPN 1000.
And now on Digital FM at 100.3 HD2.
This is Chicago's home for sports.
And no, I have not watched the Beatles yet.
I was just going to say.
I know. I knew you were going to ask me that.
I'm almost taking my second swipe at it. I told you. I'm going to watch it all the way through again.
And see what you may have missed in seven hours or whatever.
It's like watching a Monty Python movie, right? It's not as funny, but there are things you miss.
Yeah.
Because it goes so fast and their accents and everything. So I'm going to watch it all the way through.
I was telling you how I saw Sebastian Maniscalco last Sunday. And my girlfriend Linda bought the tickets, but then she got sick and she couldn't go. And I tried to tell her some of the jokes. My delivery, not nearly as good as his.
Oh, my God. I wish I were there for that.
Oh, my God. It sucks.
Oh, you should have seen this. And then you set up the joke, and she's
no.
Please don't do that.
Not nearly as good. He did have a good line. He did thank everybody for risking their lives to come to the United Center. He said, you hate to be shot coming out of Garrett's popcorn. So he understands that the problem that the city
things are a little tough.
Yeah, not nearly as good as it should be. Dick Allen was a guy that I loved watching play. My dad, back in the day, did some stuff, some TV stuff, and he was the executive producer of a show called The Dick Allen Show on Channel 44 when Dick Allen was playing with the White Sox. It was a two-hour sports show. Yeah, they had the chairs. Heck, the chairs were in our house afterwards, because when the show was over, we kept all the chairs on the set and everything like that. So they were our chairs then. And, he had Hank Aaron was on the show, Pee Wee Reese, Gaylord Perry, all these star
players. And would you have met all of these people?
A lot of them. I had some autographs from some of them.
Did you meet Hank?
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. I met him. I was a sophomore in high school.
Right.
So Dick stopped going to the show, so the show kind of eventually faded away.
Which is kind of a problem. He just stopped showing up.
Yeah, but as a baseball player, there was nobody better that I had ever seen. And on the way in today, I'm listening to Connor McKnight, and Connor plays a home run from Dick Allen. And this is Harry Carey, and I know that these guys cut it, I think. And Tyler, they were talking about it, and the way it sounds, old home runs and old baseball highlights just sound great, even before you hear it. So this is one. This is from the White Sox. Dick Allen playing for the White Sox against the Yankees.
Game?
I was at this game.
Do you remember the date?
Oh, yeah, and I'll talk about it. Okay. Here's the home run.
All right.
So with one out, here is Richie Allen. Allen has faced Lindy McDaniel many times in the National League. There's a long drive deep center. Way back in my face.
So that's amazing, okay? It's amazing to hear what he says. Now, the center field wall at Old Comiskey was 440 feet to the base of the wall.
Yes, it was. And it had the horns on it. Remember the horns?
And the wall was about 40 feet high.
Yep.
Or 30 feet, whatever. And Harry Carey was doing it was an afternoon broadcast from the center field bleachers. Figure, you're safe. You're at the game. You go, Harry, what the hell are you bringing your net for? This got to be like 480 to hit it out here, right? I'm sitting for that day. I don't know why I was sitting where I was, because I had seats box 44 below the aisle, 8 rows in the field, just to the right of the net that were with my dad's company, Olympic Savings and Loan, back in the day. But for that game, for some reason, I was sitting in the first row of the upper deck, right behind home plate. And I keep telling the story. I thought it was Mel Stottlemyre pitching as Lindy McDaniel. Every time I've told the story, I've told it wrong. But the ball takes off like a golf shot and just goes. And, you know, sometimes a golf shot goes, it sails straight and it goes up a little bit. Yep. It just took off. And from my vantage point, you saw it, and it was like a line shot, and it just kept rising and going. And it almost hits Harry Carey in the center field bleachers. It was the most amazing thing I'd ever seen.
Now, what was the date?
I don't remember the date.
Oh, I thought 72? You said...
No, I was at the game. I don't remember the date.
You don't I thought you remembered the date. No, I was going to say how impressive.
I could find the date.
I signaled to Tyler. Superfly was under there. I appreciate that. It was a good music choice. I don't know who put that under there.
Well, and Freddie's Dead was also from the movie Superfly.
Yes. Absolutely.
Yeah, that's one of my... That's my iPod.
That's your funeral song.
Curtis Mayfield, yeah.
Remember Freddy's we did Dead. That?
Yeah. So, yeah,
you know, the podcast that we're going to talk about, Goose Gossage. He was on with Chuck Garfine, White Sox Talk podcast.
Yep.
Now, I have never heard Goose being interviewed. I probably did when I was a kid, right?
Goose has done some stuff. Yeah, he's come on the air
Goose.
Here.
When I was a kid, before I can grow peach fuzz, I wanted a Fu Manchu.
Yeah.
I may just have one today. I may adjust this.
You could.
Just for Goose. Because he was such a badass on the South Side. And then hearing him talk to Chuck, I learned so much about Dick Allen. It was great to hear that cut from Harry, because now I remember how he was called Richie Allen.
Yeah.
Not Dick Allen.
Yeah, he didn't like Richie. So
yeah, and
Dick.
Harry called him Richie, and that takes me right back to when he played.
Yeah.
And I was a kid. But Goose really loved that man.
Well, he did. And if you get a chance to listen to it, it's the White Sox Talk podcast. Chuck Garfine, Ryan McGuffey, Vinny Duber, they do a great job on the podcast. And I'm listening to it, and there's a time he's talking about how Goose Gossage is talking about how Chuck Tanner, Johnny Sain, the pitching coach and Dick Allen basically molded him as a baseball player.
Those three people are the most important people.
And Goose Gossage talks about it. Give it a listen. It's a great, you can find it on wherever you listen to podcasts. And I'm sure if you're listening to the show,
Goose is very colorful in his language.
Oh, yes, he is. Yeah.
Very colorful. Yeah. We would have had to spend a lot of time
cutting stuff down. Yeah. And they did some of it, but they didn't beep everything.
No.
But there was a time, I mentioned how my dad was doing some stuff for the White Sox back then. We were doing some White Sox clinics, White Sox dinners, and one of the White Sox clinics, Goose Gossage came out, along with Chuck Tanner and Joe Lynette, who is the third base coach for the White Sox. And my dad's driving, I'm in the front seat, and in the back seat is Chuck Tanner on one side, Joe Lynette on the other side, and a 21-year-old Goose Gossage in the middle. And Tanner and Joe Lynette, the coach of the White Sox, are just giving him all kinds of crap. You pimply face, such and such. It's amazing we even got you here. We're relying on you. You got this great fastball. Can you do anything
else?
Were
you in the passenger
seat? I was in the passenger seat listening to all this. And I'm
surprised your dad didn't send you in back and say, Mr. Tanner, sit up in front.
No, it was great. No, I let him sit in the back. So it was awesome.
So and, you saw that happen.
Oh, my God. It was so amazing. And there, because you had two pitchers. You had from the left side, you had a reliever in Terry Forster who threw smoke. And then the other side, you had Goose Gossage, who on this podcast, the White Sox Talk podcast with Chuck Garfine, talks about how he goes, hey, I can throw a fastball through a car wash. You won't get wet.
Right.
He goes, but I had no idea how to throw a curveball, and Johnny Sain taught him how to throw the curveball, and then Goose Gossage is going to the Hall of Fame.
And what he's saying about Dick Allen, the stories he's talking about, and the amount of the players that Goose has pitched to, Hank Aaron, all of them, right?
Yeah.
What he says about Dick Allen, it's mind-blowing.
Yeah, it's amazing.
And I really believe it. It's not a guy just rallying for a friend. I really believe it. When you hear Goose talk about Dick Allen or Richie Allen, it's mind-blowing.
He talks about how Dick Allen would, like, set up a pitcher. He would swing at some bad pitches early in the game when there were two outs and nobody
on. A couple of at-bats to set up a pitcher for later on in the game.
Because then pitchers would go late in the game. They'd face a guy three times or four times. And he said then there'd be two guys on base late in the game. Dick would come up. The guy would throw the same thing he got him out at, and Dick would hit it for the home run and game-winning home run. So we got a couple of people want to jump on and tell about some Dick Allen stories. We got a Danville and Andy. You're on ESPN 1000. Hey, Andy.
Hey, guys. I seem to remember him, Allen, hitting a home run to center field that broke one of the benches. And the next day in the Sun Times, the picture had the two pieces of the bench sitting on top of the ball.
He was amazing. I mean, I never saw a guy hit the ball that hard. You know, Frank Thomas hit the ball hard, but not as hard as Dick Allen.
It had to scare the hell out of the pitcher.
Yeah. Oh, you're not kidding.
Actually, on that podcast, Goose talks about how, I can't remember what pitcher it was, but how that guy stayed on the ground after the ball was in center field.
Yeah.
And I think the pitcher didn't get up because he's like, I'm afraid that ball's going to bounce off the center field fence and come back and get me.
Yeah, it probably could have. Andy, awesome. I appreciate the call. Thanks, Andy. Thanks.
All right.
Let's go to the south side. And Joe, you're on ESPN 1000. Hey, Joe.
Hey, Joe.
Hey, how you doing? Seeing that you guys are reminiscing and bringing up some of the Dick Allen stories, it was one that, do you remember when Dick Allen hit two inside the park home runs against the Minnesota Twins?
Yep.
And also, he also had one of the heaviest bats in baseball.
40 ounce.
Yeah, he had a 40-ounce bat. I've got a Hank Aaron autograph on the Dick Allen bat. A 40-ounce bat with the Hank Aaron autograph. It's pretty cool. But, yeah, he swung it. Nobody else could figure out how he could get around so quick. But he was so muscular.
On that podcast, Goose talks about that game with the two inside the Parkers.
Yeah, and he did it in Minnesota, remember their center field, Joe, back in the day at Metropolitan Stadium.
Oh, terrible
park. It was a big, vast. It had the chain-link fence and the outfields and stuff like that. Yeah. It was very cool. Joe, appreciate the call.
Thanks, Joe.
It was a great memory. And again, go watch Dick Allen, Richie Allen highlights, and you won't believe how well he hits the ball. You'll see he hit like the longest home runs in some parks that are closed now. You know, his rookie early years in 64, 65, he played a park.
And those are some of the things that Goose was talking about. He said it would be ridiculous if he were playing now in these small parks.
Right. Oh, yeah. He would just eat it up. To Willowbrook and Owen. Hey, Owen.
Owen.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
Yeah, I grew up watching those teams with Allen and Melton. And actually, if it wasn't for the A's, the Sox might have gotten there. I think it was in 72 or 73. But
yep.
One of the greatest stories I ever heard, I don't know if it's true or not, but obviously Tanner had the separate rules for Richie Allen than the rest of the team.
He did.
So the Sox were supposedly playing a doubleheader, and they were resting Richie Allen. And the Sox were down. I think it was like in the sixth inning, they were going to pinch hit Richie Allen. They couldn't find him. Well, supposedly, Allen had left the dugout, and he was hungry. And somebody spotted him walking down 35th Street going to get some tacos in his uniform. And he came back, and he had taco sauce all over his uniform when he went up to pinch hit.
He went, you know, nothing he did. Nothing he did would surprise me. I would appreciate the call. They always said, I mean, you know, back when the Yankees used to come to town, way back in the day, McCuddy's was a bar that was right across the street on 35th Street from the visitors' dugout area.
Yep.
So they would just walk out, grab a beer, get a hot dog, and come back in. They'd walk across 35th Street in their Yankees uniforms.
Sure.
Yeah, and there were so many great highlights.
That story would not surprise me at all.
Yeah, and then they also said they were going to rebuild McCuddy's when they built the new ballpark, and that never happened. 312-332-3776. That's the number. We come back. We got to wrap up our poll. We'll take another call or two. We've got the New Mexico Bowl coming up next. UTEP and Fresno State here on ESPN 1000.
Fred and Xander
on ESPN 1000. Also available on demand on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
Chip and Villa Park's been hanging on. Chip, what's up?
Hey, Chip.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good.
How are you?
Good.
Good. Hey, I just wanted to tell you, it was interesting when you brought up Roland Heeman's name earlier, Fred. It's amazing that the connection he had between the 77 Southside Hitmen, the 83 winning ugly team, and a connection into the World Series team.
Yes.
Obviously, you know, he brought up Dick Allen, got, you know, was able to get him with the Hitmen, but then brought over in a trade with Bucky Dent, got Oscar Gamble, I think it was Bob Polinski, and Lamar Hoyt came over in that deal. And then he has Hoyt for the 83 team, and then turns Hoyt a couple of years later over to San Diego to get Ozzie Guillen, who turns around and manages the 05 World Series team. It's amazing, just kind of the link of three of perhaps the most famous teams in White Sox history, and Heeman had a hand in all of that.
Yeah, you're right. And not only that, he also was a big guy, a guy that helped organize the Arizona Fall League, which a lot of young people play at now. And I know Connor McKnight talked about it earlier today on White Sox Weekly. Chip, appreciate the call. Those were really good points. And Roland Heeman was the guy that made the trade for the White Sox that brought Dick Allen here.
Yes.
And he sent Tommy John and an infielder named Steve Hunts on December 2nd, 1971. And,
That Tommy John, for anybody's like, where have I heard that before? That's the guy.
That's the guy who they named the surgery after.
Yes.
Yeah. And
he went on to pitch very well for the Dodgers.
I don't think they named the underwear after him. There's Tommy John underwear. I don't know.
It's not my brand.
I don't think they're mine either. I don't think they named, you know whose brand it is? The guys that got the free stuff. I think Sylvie's. I think he did some commercials for him, so I'm sure was Tommy John.
Sure.
That's a
good responsible broadcaster.
Yeah, that's what we do. That's exactly what we do. The Bears, in case you missed it, Eddie Goldman has been activated off the reserve COVID list. Bears play the Vikings on Monday night. That'll be the second game of Monday night. The first game Monday will be the Raiders, as they were forced to stop and not fly to Cleveland earlier today, late yesterday. So the Raiders will play the Browns on Monday, then two games in the NFL Saturday. There's one game tonight, so we get to watch a little bit of NFL action tonight. Blackhawks play tonight also again, right? After a rough one yesterday.
Yeah, they were playing an AHL team, essentially.
Well, from what I understood, too, listening to the hockey show, and by the way, Connor McKnight's White Sox Weekly, the hockey show, our show, you can get all of them on the ESPN Chicago app. Just go get the app. It's a great app.
It's laid out easily. You can find anything.
If I can figure it out, anybody can figure it out.
We're under the other.
Yes, we are. They go to ESPN Other. Additional. I think it's additional. Yeah, ESPN Additional shows. You can usually find the Fred and Xander show right there. Before we go, I wanted to recap our poll question for today. And with Christmas coming up, the question basically was, which would you rather receive or prefer to receive as a Christmas gift? Cash, gift cards, or an actual gift? And
again, cash could be Zelle or Venmo.
Yeah, nowadays it's definitely going to be that. I was looking, there's a lot of books that I would be interested in reading. The problem is when I look at my bookshelves, there's about 30 books there that I'm interested in reading I never have gotten to. I've got so many books to read, and I got...
What do you do? Are you going to attack the books you already own at some point?
No, I'm going to buy more so I know that I have them. So when I do decide to read them,
they'll be there.
And I won't have to go. And I do have Kindle. I have some of my Kindle that I've read.
Now,
Hawk Harrelson's book on Kindle.
I think this is going to go very much by age.
Okay.
I think age has something to do with this.
Okay, where would you go?
Well, and I'll say this. When I was younger, I'd be like, just cash. Just give me cash. Now I kind of like the idea of, hey, you really thought about something. You kind of know who I am. Like if I'm talking about, I have three kids.
Right.
It's like my one daughter, I tell you, she does the list. If one of them, like my son, he doesn't do a list. He knows who dad is, buys it, and he thinks about it. Uh-huh. And it's like, I think that's cool.
Okay.
But I'm an older dude now.
I might say gift cards.
Old and soft.
I might say gift cards just because I love having... You
don't appreciate anybody saying, I know Fred, and I think I know what he would like?
Nah, because usually it's, like, nice, but like Sylvie said, it's not exactly what I would have liked, but you got to be nice about it. I don't know. Oh, so, geez. Gift cards, you can never say no. What did it come out to, Tyler?
So, the number one is cash at half the vote, 50%.
Was it half?
Yep.
Okay.
Actual present, 39%, and then gift cards, 11%.
Huh.
So cash is gift cards. I mean, really?
Kinda.
Yeah. You're telling somebody, I have cash for you, but you can only spend it here.
Well,
that's what that is.
A lot of times people go to, like, if you walk into an office and you see a guy drinking Dunkin' Donuts coffee every day, a Dunkin' Donuts.
Well, and that's using some of that intuition, like I know who this person is. So that's a little bit of both.
Gift.
It's like a little bit of both.
Okay. Bears have the day off tomorrow. I do not. I'll be here with Brian Hanley from 10 until 12. Xander, enjoy the weekend. The rest of
you
it.
You too.
Okay. Thanks to Tyler and
a Merry Christmas to you, pal.
Yeah, you too. And to Jake for jumping on in here on ESPN 1000.